Are you a speech language pathologist or occupational therapist who is feeling the squeeze of high caseloads and limited support? Wondering if maybe private practice is the answer? Well, let's talk about it. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Don't just dream about having better work-life balance. Make it your reality by starting your own private practice. To register, just head on over to privatepracticetraining.com right now and sign up, and I'll see you there. Josie Lugie and Jesse Lanford are a speech-language pathologist and physical therapist duo with a private practice in Augusta, Georgia. They decided to start a private practice after working together in a different setting and realizing that they had similar goals of wanting more autonomy and work-life balance. I got to know both Jesse and Josie during their time in the Start Your Private Practice program, and it has been so cool to watch them team up and thrive in private practice. In this episode, they talk about building their multidisciplinary practice together, getting referrals through social media and networking, and the importance of creating a caring company culture. If you're interested in learning more about starting your private practice with a partner or by yourself, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. So before we dive in, can you please share your names, your location, and the name of your private practice?
My name is Josie.
I'm Jesse.
And our practice is called Better Days Therapies of Augusta, and we are located in Augusta, Georgia.
So I am so excited to do this with y'all because I've gotten to know y'all in the START program, and it's been so cool to watch y'all get going. And I always love hearing from all kinds of different practices, including practices that are run by a partnership. Before we get into like how y'all got started, like with teaming up together and what your private practice looks like now, would y'all mind individually talking about kind of your path to private practice? Like, what were you doing before that? And when did you start thinking about private practice?
After graduate school, I started my clinical fellowship at another outpatient clinic kind of here in our local area and worked there for a little while. Made another job transition. I've pretty much since graduate school worked in outpatient. That's really my only working experience. And so just feeling like I wanted to do more and kind of bouncing ideas pretty much off myself and off my family, I have worked with Jesse at both of the locations that we came from. And so with that, just in passing one day, kind of said, yeah, I'm really feeling like I want to do something. I want to do something more. I want to do something different. I want to feel happy in what I'm doing. And so she had said to me, why don't we get some dinner? And it turned out that she was actually thinking of the same thing herself and same thing. She was talking to her family, kind of going back and forth with that idea. And that's truly how our partnership kind of grew. We both kind of had the ideas. We had both been working together and we thought, why don't we tackle this together?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like Josie said, I'm Jesse. I'm the physical therapist here. We, like she said, after graduate school, our first job was together. Since graduate school, my family has been very much encouraging me to step into private practice. I know that that's a little bit more typical for a PT to kind of have like the typical outpatient. My heart is with pediatrics. So that was definitely a goal of mine. And then that second job that I took was actually a little stepping stone for me to reach that goal. I had the opportunity to build and grow the physical therapy department for the second job that I had. So it was kind of a little trial on the marketing aspect, kind of learning how to build a caseload from nothing, which it was absolutely purposeful to be able to get here. I just didn't know when I was going to take that step on this journey. And then, like she said, when she had mentioned in passing, I was like, I think this could actually work. And then we found your course and it just kind of like blossomed from there.
I love that. I wish that we had like a video recording of that dinner, right? That fateful dinner, right? That y'all got together and started kind of hatching this plan, right? So can you tell our listeners like what happened? So you went to dinner, right? You had this like conversation. You both realized mm-hmm. that you had similar goals and aspirations. And then what happened next? Like, and you joined the START program, which is awesome. But then what happened to actually like propel you from like a dinner discussion to like actually moving forward?
Well, I had been following independent clinician and I had kind of introduced Jesse to it. I believe that we maybe did one of your training courses, something like that, that you offer. And we both were like, we just really love this. Let's dive on in. And I don't come from a business background in my family. Jesse, she does have some business people in her family, but neither of us really knew anything. We knew therapy, but we didn't know business. And I mean, every minute that we were, whether it's family or working, we were diving all into the courses. And it's great that they're self-paced. So we could, hey, this Saturday, let's spend a couple hours and let's really dive in and build the foundations of our business.
It really started on Josie's couch. We always go back to that. And a little bit more background on everything. About a month after we kind of decided to jump into this, we started our logo, we applied for the LLC and everything. I found out I was pregnant. So it put a little wrench in it as far as like when we would pull away from our full-time job. And then when we kind of figured out those kinks, we did both quit our job in the fall of last year. I think Josie put in like maybe a month before I did. And then we started kind of picking up some PRN hours at a local hospital here just to kind of make some form of a salary while we started building the foundation of Better Days.
I love it. And listeners, you can't see this, but the clinic space that you're in is so adorable, right? I see some therapy balls. I see some really cool posters on the wall. It's just like very, I don't know, relaxing, but also like functional, right?
Yeah.
A lot of our families, they do say when they walk in, whether it's to our lobby or to our treatment rooms, they just say like, wow, it's so welcoming in here. And that's just like what our goal was, is we just wanted a nice, open, clean,
professional,
welcoming space for anyone who is going to come in here and to feel like they belong here and to feel comfortable, whether it's just while they're waiting for their appointment or whether it's a family member that's sitting out of the sessions. We just really wanted from the front to the back to really be welcoming and, functional for what we do here.
Which also I feel like is a huge pro for us having that background experience in other clinics. We definitely learned a lot of maybe not how we would want to structure our company. So we kind of learned through those processes, like what we, pulling different things that we liked and didn't like and how we could maybe make that better. So I think with that, those experiences, it's really helped, honestly, like, again, building that foundation for our company.
Yeah. And I absolutely, I love that. And I love that y'all just kind of like went all in on this, right? Like you did it safely, right? Like you had the PRN work to kind of keep some money coming in and whatnot. But clearly y'all were on a mission, right? You're like, we want to have a multidisciplinary clinic. We have a partnership.
We want to have a physical location. And so how did you get your first clients?
It was about a week or two before our like official launch. Our website hadn't launched yet, but we were on Google and somehow popped up a Google search, and I was ill prepared for that. And I was just like so blown away, like, oh my goodness, I just got my first client. And so, of course, I had to wait to schedule them until we went officially live. And then things were a little slow. We did start in like the middle end of September. So then kind of getting into the holidays, and other people think kind of that retail mindset, that holiday mindset, traveling. Our beginning went slow, but we did a lot of marketing. We did a lot of in-person marketing. And then it was really our accountant that said, what are you girls doing? Are you in? Are you out? Are you full-time? Because to me, it looks like an orange stand on the side of the road.
As a hobby.
It's a hobby. And we're like, Mom, we are so passionate about this. We want this to be full-time. And so we set a goal of middle of January, we are going all in. And really at that same time, kind of like you said earlier, fate, we just feel like kind of stars aligned, and we started getting referrals and people started hearing about us, and we were running our Facebook ads, and our logo was getting out and people were recognizing us and calling us. So we were very active in marketing, but I think a lot of like people were coming to us as well. And I was able to build almost a full caseload within about a month after January.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I was expecting to have my daughter in March, and she made the surprise entrance of coming in February. Josie and I were in the middle of kind of trying to prepare for that transition with me kind of stepping out. I was planning on taking like an 8-week maternity because I wanted to get right back to my other baby, Better Days. And again, it kind of happened real fast. And so I'm super thankful and fortunate for the amazing partner I have, because those 8 weeks that I was out was really when things were ramping up. And so Josie had to take on quite a lot, but she did great. She kept things running, you know, as I could in those early newborn days, tried to get as many things as I could to help her. But she really kind of took the reins there for a little bit. And then when I stepped back into the picture towards the end of April, it was really just hit the ground running. Here we go. We kind of started off doing in-home at first, those early of this year, January to February. And then I would say in February is when we actually had, again, stars aligned. It's kind of a fate thing. We had another speech therapist who is a sole private practice owner. She has like an upstairs that she would rent out to other therapists that were kind of independent on their own. And so she reached out to us and said like, hey, I came across y'all. I didn't see that y'all had a location. Would you be interested in renting like a couple of rooms for me? And so Josie and I, again, perfect timing for that to happen, because we were starting to run into some like efficiency issues as far as with that travel, not being able to see as many patients, because the need in this area for pediatric services is so high. So we kind of took that leap and started renting from her. And then from there, that's really was the another stepping stone to allow us to build the caseload and brand ourselves enough to now have our own location.
Oh, I love the progression of that from like, yeah, we want to do this. And I also kind of like how your accountant, I think probably with love, like called you out a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
We left that meeting with our heads down a little bit. And I remember we went to lunch after to kind of debrief, and we both just kind of sat in silence for a couple minutes. And we're like, okay, that's kind of the kick that we needed, because we don't want this to be a hobby. We want this to be something that you see the passion, that you see how involved we are with our company. And so we both kind of were like, let's do this. Like, clearly we're making a difference already in our community. So like, why not go all in?
Yes. And I love that. And it is oftentimes like a little kick in the pants, right? That gets people moving. And I love how it did and how you guys seized that opportunity. And the other thing I wanted to touch on is just, I love how your baby came a little bit early, right? And so Josie had to kind of like step up a little bit more, but that's what partnerships are all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can y'all tell our listeners, like, what is it like to be in a partnership for your practice in terms of like, what hats do each other wear? Or like, how do you figure out like, who's going to do what?
In the beginning, we thought like, we were very like, we just do it together. We are the J&J girls. Everything we just do together. And then just, I feel like through community events, and Jessie was more so, I mean, I'm very outgoing, but she was better at those like relationships, networking, kind of walk up to anybody and spark up a conversation. She was great at that. She is great at speaking to referral coordinators in physicians' offices. I'm more of an analytical kind of finance, kind of book, QuickBooks type person.
I am not numbers oriented. When we go to our accounting meetings, I'm just kind of like there just to kind of like be present. And they're going over everything. Yeah, I'm super thankful that she can kind of take on the reins on that.
So I feel like just by doing, we kind of figured out, okay, Jessie's better at maybe some of the HR stuff and getting HR for new hires and being the point of contact with our payroll company. And just throughout doing, I feel like we've kind of figured out where our lanes are. And now we're kind of getting to the point where what we're doing now, some of the things have to, again, be kind of given off because we can't do it all. So that is something new for us that we're starting to kind of find of delegating tasks that we've kind of got into our own kind of sides. And now we have to delegate again because just with growth and busy days, busy schedules, and realizing that we just can't do it all sometimes. Yeah.
Which I will say, that's been a hard pill for us both to swallow, is because this is our baby. I mean, we've poured our heart and soul into this company to make sure it's built on the morals and values that we wanted to stay in place. And so being able to kind of pass that torch off to someone is a little scary. And with that strategic growth, we want to make sure that we're hiring the right people. Yeah, we get applicants and we get people that want to come here, but it's making sure that we're building the right people and putting them in the right places to make sure that we're going to maintain the brand that we've built for ourselves. That's been a learning curve. I definitely think that we are on the right path for that, but it's been us kind of allowing someone to make their own little mistakes and kind of learn along the way, just as we did. But it's also kind of like, I don't want to have to watch every little thing that they're doing, just because, like she said, we've kind of found out our little way to kind of do things.
Yes, totally. And that's what happens with growth, right? There's only so many hours in the day, and there's only so much that anyone can do, not only to run the practice, but also to be in it, right? To like be doing the therapy sessions and stuff.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
So my next question actually follows along really nicely behind that, which is kind of like, what does your private practice look like these days in terms of how many clients are you serving and like what populations, who is like working in your practice? Some of those kind of questions.
So we treat the whole age range here. Like I mentioned earlier, both of our passion is pediatrics, but we did not want it to limit to that. Some of the other clinics we've worked at, the age kind of caps at 18 or 21. And a lot of times those patients with very much so pediatric diagnoses kind of go without services because there's nowhere for them really to go because of their age. Down syndrome kids, autism patients, they just essentially don't have services. So we really wanted to encompass the entire age range for those kiddos so that they don't lose out on services. Josie sees a 32-year-old patient with autism. I did an Evo on a 93-year-old. And then my youngest patient is 2 months old. So we just enjoy kind of being able to see the whole lifespan and treat everything that's in that.
Maybe like 120, like 120 kids on caseload between all services. I currently have a clinical fellow that I'm supervising who has like really jumped in and been so amazing. And she's actually really learned to love like the young pediatrics. When she started with us, she was really interested in like school and articulation and things like that. But recently she's like, I just really am loving these younger kids. And that's one of the great things with outpatient is you can see so many different things. You may see articulation, you may see swallowing, you may see stuttering. And so that, you know, outpatient, I think, has my whole heart just because it's such a variety. We do have a good bit of patients across. We do have a wait list right now. We have occupational therapists. We have a CODA. We have our physical therapist. We have front office management who kind of does a lot right now where they do some billing and scheduling and insurance. And we have some new hires that are starting with us here in January.
Oh my gosh. Right, y'all are so impressive. And how long have you been open? Just over a year, right?
September 16th was our anniversary for kind of launching the website and everything. And kind of touching on Josie with the enjoying outpatient. We both very much enjoy teaching and kind of pouring into new clinicians and all of that. So our next big goal that we've kind of set over this next year is to really get affiliated with some schools and have some therapists that are on rotation through the clinical aspect to come through here just because it's such a great learning opportunity. We're waiting to hear back on getting in network with like a straight Georgia Medicaid down here that's given to families that are children that are given or born with a medical complexity. We both really enjoy medically complex, medically fragile kids. And so we're hoping that we can launch that here soon and start kind of serving that population, which again is just another great learning aspect for therapists to come here and get hands-on skills and just continue to grow in their field.
Yeah. And then that gives you an opportunity to kind of like also pre-screen people, right? In terms of mm-hmm. them, right? So that then somebody that you're like, oh my gosh, like he is fantastic or she's fantastic or whatever, you can scoop them up and they already know your billing system or they already know the way you do things, right? Like that's such a great way to think about hiring. So my next question is, where are you getting the majority of your clients from? Like what marketing? I know that you mentioned like marketing to doctors and a couple of other things and Facebook ads. Where would you say that the majority of your clients are coming from these days?
We have spent a lot of time trying to build those relationships and get our name out to a lot of the physicians in this area. And that's been something, you know, that we've been very active in. But I would say about equally as much, families are finding us. We try our best to be as involved in social media as possible with educational posts and running kind of those Google ads and Facebook, Instagram ads. So I would say Facebook, Instagram, everybody's on social media anymore in some facet. And so I would say about half probably, or maybe even more of the majority come from families calling us, scrolling at night, scrolling on lunch break, giving us a call, but then also getting, you know, referrals from some of the well-established physicians in the area. We have a lot of large practices here that are 10, 12 physicians in a one single practice. And so with those type practices, usually it's like a referral coordinator, which makes it nice to have one point of contact because getting in touch with a busy provider can be very hard and getting face-to-face with them, you know, because they're just as busy as we are. So kind of having that relationship with the referral coordinators has been really, really beneficial for us.
I think another thing that we've really tried to focus on is more of like the word of mouth. Again, building that brand. We very much enjoy pouring into our community and kind of giving back. So we do a lot of community-based events. We just did like a trunk or treat event where we all, our company, dressed up as the Scooby-Doo clan. We had a little like mystery that the kids had to solve activity to kind of highlight and let parents kind of see how easy therapy can be and how like it's just through play. We do a lot of play-based therapy here, and then just kind of educating caregivers on how PT, OT, or speech could benefit their child. That's been fun to do that way. And we are actually in the process of planning like a sensory-friendly Santa here at the office. And we're going to open that up to the community for those kiddos or families that may have not had the opportunity to go have a picture taken with Santa just because of a sensory need or complexity or anything like that. So that's something that we both really enjoy and have a passion for.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that too. Like, I just love how y'all are operating your practice, right? I love that you've mentioned like your values, being able to like give back. Like, you've mentioned that multiple times. And I think that there's so many clinicians who feel exactly that way, right? They work in schools, they work in hospitals, maybe even somebody else's private practice, and they just don't feel like they're making a difference, right? They feel like they've got like a really big caseload or high productivity requirements or like X, Y, and Z kind of reasons. And so a lot of people are leaving their jobs to start private practices to have a better life for themselves and their families. I think one of you mentioned being happier was one of your goals, right? But to also be able to give back to your community is such a big like reason why people are doing this. So my next question is, how has private practice changed y'all's lives? Now, a year or so in, how has this benefited you from being in private practice?
It's really funny you ask that. Just last night, actually, Josie sent me like a picture side by side of her on the first day of getting your like your employee badge picture taken at one of the other practices that we were in versus our badge picture now. And you can just literally see the difference and the genuine happiness and fulfillment. And just what a picture's worth 1,000 words, just seeing that. So for me personally, the work-life balance and just my desire and excitement on a Monday morning. There's not really Sunday scaries anymore. It's, hey, what's this week going to bring us? What can we do? Like, and that's something, again, having that background of being in other clinics and seeing how they're run. And just if you have a great idea, it just kind of gets pushed to the side or kind of turned down. And Josie and I are quickly learning that the sky's the limit, kind of whatever we want to accomplish. Okay, how do we get there? We just have to kind of figure out the pathway to make that possible. And that's something that we are implementing and encouraging any of our new hires coming in is bring ideas to us. We don't know it all. We're still learning every single day. And if you have a great idea or something that you would like to help pour back into the community, let us know. Like, we'll figure out a way to make it possible.
What about you, Josie? How has being in private practice changed your life?
So I feel like having a private practice has really given me, I don't feel bad if I need to take a day. I don't feel bad if I need to go home to Pennsylvania to visit my family. I feel better about stepping away and I don't feel as guilty. That has been really nice for me. Or if I have an appointment, I'm able to contact my families and say, hey, can I reschedule you? I don't feel guilty about it. So that's been really nice for me. We're still in like the growth phase. So I do feel like we are working a lot, you know, and there's different levels of work. We're not patient contact all day, every day, but other things for the business when our business hats are on. But I do feel like being able to kind of set my schedule how I want it to be and kind of have more control over that. I'm not confined by somebody else's plans. If I want to maybe work a 9 to 3 one day, I can set my schedule to be like that. That's a really nice feeling to have that ability.
Absolutely. I mean, I say that people go into our fields, right? Speech, PT, OT, any helping profession, right? To help people, right? Like, we're just natural helpers. But people go into private practice to help themselves. And people should not feel guilty or bad about that, right? Yes, you're serving the community and you're very indebted to helping your local community. And that's part of the helpfulness, right?
But I think also people start to realize that like they might be getting burned out at their regular job, right? And so they can still help people, but sometimes people feel like they kind of reach like a maximum of how much they can help at like, again, a school, a hospital, early intervention, whatever. And so starting your own thing allows you to like be exponentially helpful to your clients, but also like to your own self and your own family.
And I like that you said kind of like that burnout. And I know that's probably nationwide in this, it just in this field, this profession is burnout rate right now. And that work-life balance is a hot topic. And that's another big reason why we decided to step into private practice is because so many, no matter what clinic we were at, our coworkers were always on Indeed looking for job postings because they were burnt out, not happy, even questioning if they wanted to stay in the field. And I mean, we work so hard for our degree. It's just so kind of upsetting to see that that's people get pushed to their limit to where they even would want to step away from there. So kind of how we structured our company is for any new hires coming in, we have it kind of structured to have, you know, paid documentation implemented in throughout the day to give that mental rest break and to not have the burnout of having 30 docs pile up on you.
You can come back in and you can still provide that high quality care that our company is founded on and that we know our therapists are able to provide. So just kind of giving that back to them. Of course, there are going to be tough days. There are going to be long days, but we want to be as proactive as possible at kind of combating that burnout. And we really want this to be like a therapist safe haven. We are therapist owned. We know what it's like. We are still working. And that's really, really important for us in our business is to get that feedback from therapists and saying like, this is not working. We need more time or we need different timings of things to try to really avoid as much burnout as possible.
Yes. And I love that you also mentioned earlier, just your previous work experiences do inform how you want to run a practice, right? Like I think every single person who starts a practice or any kind of business really can be like, I loved X, Y, and Z about my old companies, but like these things, ooh, that was not good. And like, I don't want to be in that kind of environment. And I wouldn't want that for my team either. And so that's like kind of one of the cool things about doing this yourself is like, you get to make those decisions, right?
I would say that's been a big eye-opening thing is not having to like look around and ask somebody else. We're like, hey, do we want to make this possible? Joe's, you good? Let's do it. So it's not like we have to then go through extra hoops and wait all this time. Let's kind of just, let's map out a plan and let's execute it.
Yeah. You're like, do you want to do trunk or treat? Yeah. What should we be?
Right? That's exactly right. And we enjoy the morale of our kind of the environment we've built here with our current employees, just because in our previous experiences, that communication tends to be the make or break. Unfortunately, within companies that we've been with, there has seemed to be like a disconnect between like the admin versus like the therapist. And like Josie said, with us being actively treating, we are therapist owned. That kind of bridges that gap then to open up communication for any of our employees to come to us because we've been there, done that. We can give you advice on a therapy related issue or a personal issue. Like we're here to help our employees grow as individuals in the profession as well as personally.
Yes, 1000%. Yes. So listeners, like I'm sure you already have some ideas again of like ways that you would want your practice to operate. Take them as an example of people who are like, have done that, right? They've kind of tallied up. What do I like? What do I don't like? And you're making it work for your employees, but also like for yourselves too. And I think that that's awesome. Y'all are such an inspiration, right? I love that you got started together, that you got started with a plan and like have made it happen pretty quickly. Like this is very impressive growth, y'all. I just want to say that.
Kind of balance between we're like, we don't feel like it's so fast, but people say, wow, you got this far in this amount of time. And I feel like every day we just try to make decisions to take us one step ahead and kind of one foot in front of the other. And like you always talk about that strategic growth and just not making decisions and then having to backtrack. So yes, we are very happy. And we're so eager and so excited to see what the next year is going to look like for us now that we have what we feel is a really good foundation. And now we're in kind of growth mode.
Yes, I love everything about this, about your plan, about the two of you being together and having this really solid partnership. I think it's awesome. So for people who are listening, who are inspired by what you've said, where can they find out about you online?
So we are on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram. It is Better Days Therapies of Augusta. We have a website. We try to update our website as often as we can, adding employee pictures, any community events that we do. We are constantly trying to, again, building that brand and kind of building a name for ourselves.
Yes. Awesome. Well, listeners, if you have been inspired by these ladies like I have, please don't hesitate to reach out. Tell them that you heard the interview and everything. But thank you both so much for being on the show. And congratulations on like your first anniversary of being in private practice. And keep going and keep me posted, because I think y'all would be awesome for like a Where Are They Now episode one of these days.
Yeah, that would be great. Our ambition is to eventually have other locations servicing other communities. So yeah, that would be awesome.
Thank you again both so much for being on the show and sharing your experience with our listeners. Okay, don't you just love Josie and Jesse? I love how they turned their shared vision into a reality and opened their private practice. They weren't happy at their other job, so they made a job that they both love and are thriving in. They are a perfect example of how teamwork can truly make the dream work. Now, Josie and Jesse knew that they wanted to start a private practice, but they didn't know how. So they enrolled in the Start Your Private Practice program to learn how to get set up and started seeing private clients. If you would like help to start or grow your private practice, please visit independentclinician.com to learn how we can support you across the private practice journey. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.